Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Welcome, my friends, to the show that never ends.
This is The Show.
Come inside, the show's about to start.
Now, Kevin Wheeler, Amy Marks-Kors, Chris Ronji on KMOX.
Great to be with you guys. Welcome into Thursday. Got a short show today, just a couple of hours before we get to Cardinals baseball. So 12:15 will be the start of the pregame show. 1:10 for the first pitch up in Milwaukee as the Cardinals try to win the series. You're either going to take it 3-1 or you're going to end up with a split. The Cardinals won last night, so they've now won 2 of the first 3 in the series. We'll talk a little bit more about them in the lead-up to the pregame show just after the 12 o'clock news. Obviously, if you want to be in touch with us, if you want to find different ways to listen, just go to @theshowKMOX on Twitter. Everything is there that you could possibly need to listen. Link to the Odyssey app. You know, reminder that we're on 98.7 FM as well, which sounds amazing. Highly recommend. I know it's supposed to be strongest, kind of like in the 40 corridor, but man, I get it on 70. I get it out in the western part of St. Charles County on a lot of days. So
I get it in Franklin County.
Yeah, you can drag it with you, and it'll go a little bit
Illinois
further than that.
Yeah. Don't forget about my Illinois people.
Get it on the Illinois side, too. You can text us, 314-436-7900. And, of course, our voicemail line is dedicated to the show, 314-944-1120. So coming up in a few minutes, we're going to be all over the place. We're going to talk about the January 6th hearings. Michael Kelly's going to join us coming up next hour and talk a bit about political strategy and kind of, what might end up being a bit of a risky game that Democrats are playing when it comes to, what they want to happen with Republicans. We'll get Michael Kelly's take on that a little bit later on. By the way, hi, Amy. Hi, Chris.
Oh, hey, Kevin.
Hey, Kevin.
I filibustered there for a bit, but you know I do that.
Oh, you filibustered?
Yeah. A little bit. I do it more off the air than I do on the air.
This almost happened. Amy and I went down to a really nice coffee place. And so,
thanks for asking, by the way. I really appreciate the invitation.
Coffee. They don't have Mountain Dew there.
Dang it.
And I specifically asked Ronj not to tell you.
Yeah. And so it was taken a bit, and we're coming back, and Amy says, do you think, how long would it take for us to be late and Kevin start the show and not notice we're there?
Like, how far into the show would Kevin get before he realized we're not there?
And you know what's best? We agreed.
Yeah,
you guys had a separate conversation and said the same thing that I said when you asked me.
I told Amy, I said, it would be like, it'd be like 3 segments in. Kevin would be like, Amy Mark scores, Chris Ron. Hey, where are they?
Hey, wait a minute.
They're not here.
Where are those dopes go?
Yeah, so Ronji said it would be 3 segments. It'd be the intro of the third segment. And then Wheeler said it would be the intro of the third segment.
Yeah. At some point, I would be like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Something feels different.
I haven't heard anything dumb, so Ronji's not here.
Oh, come on.
And I haven't heard anything smart because Amy's not here.
Oh, get serious. Oh, she reads books. Whatever.
I read
books.
Good
for scores. You. Too many numbers.
Too many.
Okay, wait. Serious question.
Yes.
Speaking of reading, who have you guys read the back of cereal boxes? And if you're eating cereal, do you still read the back of the cereal box?
No, because I got a cell phone now.
Yeah, you're right. That's a good point. I don't either, but I did for a long time. Like when I was a kid, I was like, what's riboflavin?
Oh, yeah.
What's niacin? What's vitamin B12 complex C?
Yep.
What's riboflavin?
What is Soylent Green? When I was a kid, I was reading the back. I try to figure out what these things were.
I've also.
And I'm like, they taste good.
I have also stopped reading the back of shampoo bottles.
Oh.
I never did that.
Well,
because I figured I knew what was in there. It's shampoo.
Well, there's.
I'm not going to eat that.
Well, no, but you know when you're doing other business and you needed something to read.
Yep.
Sometimes I'd say, hey, there's the shower right here. I'll grab a.
And you could tell how
shampoo
nice
bottle.
Your,
read the back of it.
You can tell how nice your shampoo was, depending on how high up French was in the directions. If French is first, you had fancy shampoo.
I never thought of that.
Yeah.
We didn't get French.
All that means, Amy, is that it goes to Canada too.
Well,
no, it's not fancy.
Salon quality hair products.
Good for you, Amy, with a fancy French shampoo. Meanwhile, we're using Pert.
I got a confession though. I don't buy my own shampoo. Whatever shows up,
yeah,
is
that's
what
just
I end
what
up
you
using.
Use. Yeah, I get that.
You know, that's my wife is really good at figuring that out.
Yep. Yeah.
Every once in a while, I get the fancy, really good smelling stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, I would never buy that. I would buy Pert.
Expensive shampoo is so expensive. It's shocking. I got bamboozled into buying shampoo at my salon, and I had sticker shock. I was like, well, this is a tank of gas. I mean, it's crazy how expensive it is. Going back to the cereal boxes, they have games on the cereal boxes.
They do?
Yes, which I think are for kids. But literally yesterday, I was eating Honey Bunches of Oats, and they had a word scramble, and I was dead serious, like, I'm going to kill this. I'm going to find so many words. And then you got points.
And every one of them was related to the cereal, right?
Yes.
Like oats.
Frosty. Tasty.
Crunchy. Because,
so you're so much better than the kids, Amy.
I'm gonna
you stupid
nail this.
Kids can't do this one. I can. I'll find all these
Honey
words.
Bunches of oats. I owned you. You are pwned.
It was with almonds. Honey Bunches of Oats.
So you
almonds.
Went, again, upper class.
Wow. Yeah. That's
high,
the blue.
High end, yeah.
That's the blue. You know how there's like with Johnny Walker, there's blue label, black label? So with Honey Bunches of Oats, there's gold label, which is the original, and blue label, which is with almonds.
I have a window into your youth, because I know that you had all the good stuff in your cabinet and your fridge.
Cereal.
You never had the ketchup that was spelled with a C. You always had the good stuff.
They don't
you always
spell
got
ketchup
the Heinz.
With C?
Some people do.
Yeah.
Psychos do.
CATSUP. Catsup.
Okay, let me ask you this. Wheeler, did you ever eat
Marks,
ketchup that started with a C?
I don't remember. I think we always had Heinz. Like, we always had
that's
that.
That's fancy.
Look at you, privileged people.
I mean,
with your Heinz ketchup.
I mean, I didn't have any clothes, but I mean, we had Heinz ketchup.
Well, it doesn't matter. You and I wear the same four things to work every day anyway.
I know, I do. Like, this is day two. This is day two for my little pullover this week.
I think this is why you like Star Wars, because everyone in Star Wars kind of wears the same outfit.
Oh, Stormtroopers. You've been a great Stormtrooper.
I would,
you know, except for the height.
My spirit animal is Han Solo. I mean, I would love to just wear the same outfit every day.
Yeah, that's great.
But like, have a signature outfit.
But you do. I've never not seen you in this shirt.
Yeah, I wore a black one yesterday.
Did you?
And oh, actually, yesterday was an R2-D2 t-shirt. The day before
that's
was
right.
Oh,
you did have the R2-D2.
And then Monday was this.
Although, yeah. Can I say this? Oh my gosh, this was the best. We had picture day.
Yeah.
We had picture day for the
it's
show.
It's the picture that's up on the... Yeah.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
And Wheeler and Raji come rolling in like their moms had gotten them ready for picture day.
Oh, dude.
What?
I mean, like, so have you ever, you guys have seen this, right? Like, I don't know if your family does this.
You guys always look so sportsy, but you were all dressed up.
Well, dressed up means that I had a shirt with a collar on it.
Yeah.
That's what I had. It was untucked.
I got a collared shirt on now.
Yeah.
With the jacket, one of the five jackets I wear over it.
You are pretty dressed up, though.
But he's got an Under Armour shirt over the collar shirt.
It's a jacket. Yeah.
Pullover.
He likes track jackets.
Hey, can we talk about the fact, Kevin... Which I know he wants to brag so hard about this.
Oh. I never brag.
He got carded.
Did I ever tell you guys I have
got
a house?
The house. Yeah, we know about the house. Good for you. And the family and kids,
you know what?
Whatever.
I bet it belongs to Susan. I bet it's not even your house.
I mean,
it's in Susan's name.
Reality speaking, of course.
Kevin Wheeler.
I would lose the house if it was mine.
Tell us about getting carded.
Yeah.
Oh, I got carded today at the grocery store, but he didn't actually make me show the ID, though, thankfully. He had to come over and verify that I was old enough to buy poppets. Not puppets.
Poppets.
Poppets. The little mini fake firework things. They go.
Yeah.
Psst. When you throw them, they hit something, they go. Psst.
So this is why this show is great. Here I am, studiously working at my desk, preparing for a very serious show.
8:40 in the morning.
Yeah. And Kevin rolls in with poppets and throws them at the wall next to me. That's our prep.
Kevin
and I start giggling. And I'm like, this is so much fun.
I didn't know you had to show an ID for those.
Huh? I know.
For poppets?
For a little. Yes, that's what kind of was. That was kind of the point. Like, first of all, every rando in my neighborhood. In my neighborhood.
Kevin Garrity, it's your neighborhood.
Yeah, my neighborhood. They all they do is explode dynamite between now and July 4th. I gotta show an ID to my poppets.
We are a couple of days away from the worst week or so of a dog's life.
But like a 7-year-old can go to one of those tents and buy $1,000 worth of explosives, and I got to get carted to buy poppets at the grocery store.
Think about this, Kevin. Who among us, when we were 16, didn't put poppets in our mouth and try to chew them?
I definitely did that.
Yeah. Really?
Oh, you can make them explode in your mouth. Yeah.
Didn't that hurt?
Nah, not really.
I never did it.
A little bit, because like those little rocks that are in there, they sometimes hit you in the back and the throat. That doesn't feel great, but it's
not in the world.
It's not bad. It's like actually for kids, it's terrible. Don't do it.
Don't put fireworks in your mouth ever.
We also used to snap them in our fingers and just explode them in our hands.
I've done that.
Also, did you ever do it where you unwrap them and combine like 5 or 6 of them and get a big, big super?
No, I didn't do that.
Those are the best. I'll show you later. I got the whole box in the back.
Just in case.
I'm into it.
Just in case our boss, Steve, is listening.
Hi, Steve.
We did not throw poppets at the wall. We threw them at the whiteboard.
Right, because it wipes off.
Yeah, because they do leave little smoke marks.
Yeah, I don't want to. Yeah. I don't want to leave that on a wall where it's like permanent damage. I don't want that to go on my permanent record.
I feel like of all the stuff going on, the last thing in the world Steve is worried about is the walls.
But let's also be honest. It's a workplace. There are things moving around. There are so many scuffs on the wall. How would you even know?
Here's the problem. Remember how I said I'm a really bad, innocent person? Whenever, like, you would think Steve's the boss, you get called into his office for a meeting. For me, it's the same exact feeling when I was little and my dad would call me Amy. I always feel like I'm getting in trouble.
Did they do the middle name thing to make sure you knew it was serious?
No, my dad just got very, like, he's always calm, and he got somehow even calmer. It was that quiet, disappointed shake of the head.
Yeah, you don't like that.
He was.
Not good.
He was even Stevens. He never, ever, ever raised his voice. He was just so calm all the time. And then when you got in trouble, he was even calmer.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah.
I don't like that at all.
Mm-mm.
It was a disappointment.
You really felt like it did something wrong.
You guys will not believe this, but this is 100% true, and my wife will confirm. I was always calm with the kid at home. I never raised my voice, except for when it was that moment where you needed it to be, and then it was the boom voice came out, and then I would get tears right away.
That's how I feel.
And that was when my kid was 18, though. I mean,
kind of adorable.
No, she was younger.
Oh.
Just had to use the voice. That's all I really needed. It was great. Didn't have to do too much of the threatening or anything like that. Just like, Shannon!
You're taller than your daughter, right?
Barely. No, yes, a little bit.
Yeah. I think that matters because my dad was 6'4".
Oh.
So he was a, big
boy. Dad's like my height now. So when I was 14, we were like eye to eye.
I think it matters.
We don't have time for this, but I did want to ask you, maybe next segment, did you guys ever come to that moment when you were growing up that you squared up against your dad?
Yep. Oh,
when
no.
all of a sudden you were
no,
like,
I did not.
Okay.
Yes.
Oh, Kevin did.
Yes.
Yeah.
Didn't happen, but it was almost there. Saved by the mom. All right, great to be back with you guys. It's Thursday on the show. Chris Ranji, Amy Marks, of course, Kevin Wheeler with you here. And obviously, every couple of days now we have new January 6th hearings and we're getting little bits of information as they trickle out. It's been an interesting couple of days with what has come out and what we're expecting today, right? Like today we're expecting to see video shot by a British documentarian that was behind the scenes in the lead up to and on the day of January 6th. And we don't know what that's going to show. We didn't get a sneak preview of this, did we? I mean, I know that for previous hearings, they kind of put out a teaser, if you will, which is kind of odd. It's like a TV show. Here's what's coming up on next week's episode. But today, I don't think we've seen anything of that, but we are going to hear from the director of the documentary. And I believe they say they have some of the footage that they've been looking through. I don't know what it's going to be because we just know that it covers the time frame in the lead up to and in the day of January 6th.
And I believe this is going to be the last one until next month, correct?
Right.
Like then we're going to start to get more hearings in the month of July. And guys, we were talking and we have been, I think, as a running topic, discussing the idea of what does it take to change somebody's mind? Mm-hmm. What matters to people? And there's a lot of striking testimony, I believe, that's happened, over the first few hearings that we have seen so far. But one of them is from Gabriel Sterling, who you may know as one of the election officials. He works for the Secretary of State's office. He is a Republican, and he was the one who right after the election, he gave a press conference, you know, in front of the steps, I believe it was the Capitol, you know, there in Georgia. And he was asking for a tone down of the rhetoric, a toning down of the rhetoric. Stop. You're going to get somebody killed, I think were his exact words, or at least something like that. He said something toward the end of his testimony the other day, earlier this week, that I thought was really, really interesting and illustrates exactly what we are talking about.
For lack of a better word, it was frustrating. But oftentimes I felt our information was getting out, but that there was a reticence of people who needed to believe it, because the President of the United States, who many looked up to and respected, was telling them it wasn't true. Despite the facts, and I have characterized at one point, it was kind of like a shovel trying to empty the ocean. And yes, it was frustrating. I even have, you know, family members who I had to argue with about some of these things, and I would show them things. And the problem you have is you're getting to people's hearts. I remember there's one specific, an attorney that we know that we showed and walked him through. This wasn't true. Okay, I get that. This wasn't true. Okay, I get that. This wasn't true. Five or six things. But at the end, he goes, I just know in my heart they cheated. That's just, and so once you get past the heart, the facts don't matter as much. And our job, from our point of view, is to get the facts out, do our job, tell the truth, follow the Constitution, follow the law, and defend institutions.
It's really interesting. And it's funny, you know, yesterday I hung out with my high school friends on the Glover Show for a few minutes. You guys were okay with that. Yeah, I got your permission. But we were talking about this at the end of the segment about the January 6th hearings. And Dave told the story of a friend that he knows. So he told this on the air, a friend of he knows that essentially said, and I'm paraphrasing what Dave said. So this is now like third hand. Mm-hmm. But essentially, I don't even care if they did what they're accused of. He's still my guy who represents my interest. I don't care if all of this is true.
Well, and I heard that segment. It was really good, very poignant and personal. And a phrase that he used that stuck with me is, I don't care, right, if he cheated, because he's the only guy who, quote, will fight for my way of life. And I do think the way I interpreted that is that goes into the culture wars. That goes into not just policies and taxes, but your value system. That's appealing to your heart, your fears.
That's what Sterling was talking about.
Yes,
there, yeah.
The things you hold most dear.
And that bums me out, to be honest, because I voted for Obama. I voted for Biden, too. And I don't mind telling you, I think everybody kind of figured that anyway. If either of them had been guilty of doing this stuff, that is immediately disqualifying for me. And it is a massive, massive disappointment, because they may do what I want them to, and I wouldn't argue that they both did everything that I wanted them to, or even close to what I wanted them to. But even if that, I can't accept a person holding that office that doesn't hold the institution of the office at a high regard, to the point where if they lose, they can't just concede and say, okay, I lost, I'm sorry, I'm moving on, to where they try to subvert everything and make people in states like Arizona flip the count in their favor, or in Georgia, find me 11,700 votes or whatever it is. If I knew a guy or a woman I voted for did that, that is immediately disqualifying for me. I don't care what they stand for. I don't care what they do, what policies they have. I will find somebody who has similar policies and is also willing to be a good loser. You know, yeah. I'm sorry, but if we expect this, if you want to call it an experiment of democracy, if we want this to continue, we can't have people at any level, especially at that level, doing that stuff. So for me, if any of my people did that, they're out in my eyes.
And I want to continue this conversation after the news, because what we're talking about is striking at our value system. And over the past few decades, we have seen the shared moral fabric of our country tear apart, right? It's the seams, the threads are being pulled apart. And so it's not just taxes and domestic or foreign policy, we're also, again, looking at value systems. That speaks to people's hearts. It also speaks to their deepest fears. And when you are being motivated by fear into a belief, it is hard to be reasoned
Americans
out of that belief.
Are 10:35
on the show on KMOX. Chris Ranji, Amy Marks, of course, Kevin Wheeler with you here. You guys can always, we really do enjoy interaction, and we'll get to a lot of it both on and off the air.
So if you want to text us, it's always open at 314-436-7900. And the voicemail line is always open as well, 314-944-1120. The only thing I would ask on the voicemails as far as what has happened so far compared to what we would like it to be, I guess we would say just try to stay on topic. We get a lot of things that I've had an axe to grind about for years, and they want to leave that. And, you know, we're not going to throw off the show to do that. So, I mean, if it's something that's happening in the show, and whether it was last hour, next hour, whatever, that really, it could be anything you want within that. It's just hard if it's kind of random to work it in. So again, 314-944-1120. All right. So we got a text from the 314, and it was addressed to you, Ranj.
Yeah.
It could be addressed to, generally speaking, anybody that voted for Joe Biden. It is this. Do you like what your president and your people have done to our country? That's the part I don't like. We'll get to that in a second. I love President Trump, and Biden is an embarrassment and a failure, in my opinion. And then said, no need to reply, really. We just disagree, and I can still listen, even if I don't agree with you, which I like that part.
I do, too.
There are parts in there that we can all, I don't like the our country because it makes it sound like the country's supposed to be one thing versus another.
Yeah, well, okay, I see what you're saying. I thought you were taking it
as his country
and not ours,
but I don't think that's
what he meant.
It's hard to read into it, so I wanted to interpret it both ways. Like, it could just mean like our, like including all of us, which is what it is.
Right.
But there are a lot of people that position this as if you're not on their side, you are not for their country.
Well,
and that's really, really, to me, at the root of what the problem is that we have these competing ideologies, and it's not about tolerance or acceptance. It's that my side is right and your side is wrong. And I'm going to tell you right now, neither side is right or wrong. You are what you are. We can agree. We can talk. We can compromise. We can come together. But if your goal is total victory, it ain't happening.
It begins with labeling people real Americans. Mm-hmm. When you say that is real America, you are real America. There is no real America. All of us. An urban area. If you live in a town with a population of 50, wherever you live, you are in real America. If you're in the borders,
well, it's all.
If you're Hawaiian, if you're Alaskan, if you are from Colorado,
honestly, if you live in New York.
Yes, you are in real America. So that always bothered me, and I think that may have been one of the things that kind of started that idea that it's us versus you. Like, you are either a real American or you are not.
Well,
like, you either believe what I believe or you're not a real American. That's nonsense.
The worst animadversions you could level at somebody is that they're un-American.
Yeah.
That, to your point.
Right.
But I do want to bring up again the culture wars, because we are talking, I know a lot of people don't like the term culture wars, but it is a battle of what is our culture going to value, right? Like, which direction are we pulling? What's interesting, and David French of The Dispatch and The Atlantic has made this point a lot, is that both sides think they're losing the culture war and are feeling that that's under a desperate attack and about to collapse at any moment, that your value system is under attack. I'm going to bring this up because we just had the Supreme Court case yesterday in the Carson decision. A lot of people feel that religious liberty is under attack. We hear that in our ads. Religious liberty is under attack, end quote, right? And we feel that you will not be able to practice your faith. Well, if you look at the past few major Supreme Court decisions, they have ruled in favor of religious liberty. In 2017, they had the Trinity Lutheran Church case, and this happened right here in Missouri. It ruled that you could not exclude churches from public funding for a playground safety program because it's a religious institution. That ruled in favor of religious liberty. In 2020, you had the famous Espinoza case, and that ordered that Montana had to include religious schools in a tax credit funded private scholarship program, right? So it ruled in favor saying, hey, you cannot exclude religious schools just because they are sectarian, no matter what their religion is. Well, yesterday in a 6-3 vote, this was a major ruling that the state could not exclude religious schools in a tax credit for another funded tax credit funded private scholarship program, meaning we've had three major Supreme Court cases protecting religious institutions when it comes to publicly funded dollars, saying you cannot discriminate solely on the basis that this school has some type of sectarian teaching. But if you put that in perspective, and again, French pointed this out, you could argue that we have more religious liberty in this country right now, and I'm talking legally, right, than we've ever had in this nation's history. And if we have more religious liberty now in this nation's history, do you know that probably means we have more religious liberty now than we had at any other time in world history when you look at the pluralism of this country? So there is a difference between the culture becoming increasingly secular, which it is. We've seen the data. Fewer and fewer people are going to church. But that does not mean that our religious protections have been thus far inhibited. Now, does it mean you want to keep an eye on it? Sure, you can always keep an eye on it, but this Flight 93, you have to act now or everything you hold near and dear will fall apart. We're not there.
You should always, not you, but all of us, the general you, the royal you, should always be wary of voices that are always playing to your fears. You should always be wary of that. People fear is really powerful, right? I mean, it's something
and
that—
And so is anger.
Anger,
and it's
too.
They're the same thing in a lot of ways.
They're related,
yeah.
Right? Because fear often leads to anger.
Yep.
I mean, like, they are on the same path. And if somebody is always—and I'm not talking about any particular point of view. I'm talking about any point of view. If you're always hearing voices playing to your fears and your anger— You should be wary of that. I'm not saying ignore it. I'm not saying there's nothing to it. I'm saying be aware, because some people do it because it makes them money. Some people do that because it keeps them relevant.
I'd say a lot of people do
good. That. Yeah, sure. And I'm not differentiating between ideologies on this. I think that there's a lot of it that goes on across the board. And I'm not saying that it's equal. I'm just saying that it exists in both ways. And we all need to be better consumers of information. So if you're like, I'll use a quick example of this. Like, I have family members, they forward all these ridiculous emails that once you go to Snopes or you fact check it, it's not real. It's an urban legend. And it always comes in like 17 point purple font.
With underlined.
Underlined.
Right. With exclamation
caps,
points.
You're right.
And I reply to the whole list because it's all family members. We have a big family. And I reply all and I say, number one, here's the link showing you this is not true. Number two, when you get something that looks like this, it's probably not real. We all need to be better at understanding and having a filter, if you will, for things that just seem to fit the pattern that would make you angry or fearful.
They do nothing but confirm your priors.
Right.
If someone does nothing but confirm your priors, then you think maybe there's something happening here. And to quickly to Wheeler's point, whether it's, you know, keep us divided and fearful for money or power, there was a really poignant moment on Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee with Trevor Noah. And he was talking about apartheid in South Africa. And he said, if you have enough fear and desperation, you can get people to believe anything.
Oh, absolutely. And a lot of it is economic. If things aren't going well for them, it's very easy to take advantage of that if you're in a position of authority and say, yeah, all these things that are going wrong for you and the facts that you can't make ends meet, you know whose fault that is? It's these people over here that are taking that all from you. And what Kevin is talking about, and I think it speaks to a larger underlying problem in the country, generally speaking, and it's not just here. It does happen all over. Information diet, you're supposed to do well with your actual food diet, right? That'll keep you healthier. So will your information diet.
You mean I can't eat pizza every day?
You could.
No, but it's not good for me.
It is not good for you, though. Just like you can read, I don't know, greasefire.com all the time. And well, I don't even know if that's a real thing, but like,
I
don't know. It might be something bad. Don't do that. But like we found this, there's a pedophile ring coming out of a pizza place. And so like, look at a story like that, that sounds ridiculous, and try to vet it for yourself.
Yeah.
But I don't think enough people do that. I think they take, I knew she was evil. I knew it. And this story confirms what I'm talking about.
And let me say this, too. I'm not saying you can't be concerned. You hear the phrase that politics is downstream from culture. So if you see a culture that could be increasingly non-religious or hostile towards religion, if you feel that, you have every right to be concerned. My goodness, I was in the 80s a homeschooler who would keep eye on legislation in case the homeschooling got into legislation and they tried to regulate it or make it illegal or whatever, like they did in California. So you can keep an eye on legislation, but there is a profound difference between being concerned but also still trusting the checks and balances of our system and catastrophizing the direction that we're going, thinking my way of life will be destroyed tomorrow, versus we should all be vigilant on who we elect and what legislation is going on. I have no problem. I mean, I am concerned, right? But you can't say that every cut is fatal in the next 24 hours or you start taking desperate measures.
All right. So we did get a follow up from our text to the red when he said our country. He meant everybody.
Yes,
yeah.
That's how
I figured that's how he said it.
And I just wanted to be clear because we didn't have it's hard to read in text, right? Context is not there in a text and there's no blue font. So we can't tell if someone's exactly what they mean. So I'm glad there was a clarification there and that makes a good point. All right. So we'll get back to this. I'm sure at some point this topic's not going to be going away. If you ever want to get in, 436-7900 to text 944-1120 for voicemails. I'll tell you what's trending next up on the show.
What is it? What's happened?
What's going on? What do you know?
What just happened?
What happened?
I need to know.
Trending now on the show.
All right, Michael Kelly is going to be joining us after the top of the hour, so we'll be talking a little bit more about political strategy. Whether a certain strategy is a good idea or a bad idea. And we'll probably go beyond that, too. He just got back from Ireland. I got to see how my people are doing.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, the Pete.
Do you think they're still making wheels?
What? You think he visited my leprechaun clan?
Yeah.
Wait, are you Irish? I thought you said you were English.
It's an English name, but I'm more Irish than English.
Oh.
So it's like it's not what you would think it would be. You look at me, you're like, oh, leprechaun boy, you're probably 98%.
Okay, first of all, no, we didn't say that. No one said that.
Other people do.
I've said it.
Yeah. Ronji said it all the time.
Yeah.
He said I look like the Notre Dame mascot if I grew a beard.
Yeah. Which you can't grow a beard.
I do.
You can't grow a beard.
You want to see?
I've seen it.
I do.
Yeah.
All right, stop.
We had it like a week ago.
No. I mean a beard, Kevin.
Yeah, what do you
not
think it
stubble.
Turns into if you stop shaving?
Not stubble.
What do you think it turns into if you leave it alone?
Okay, so full beard.
All right. I'm not going to do that.
All right.
Listen.
You could look real cool if you wanted.
I could look real cool. I could look like Santa Claus. That's what I would look like, a young Santa Claus.
I love it.
Yeah. Not going to do that. Okay. Plus, I don't like the whole, the chin is white.
I think it's a good look.
I don't like that.
I think it's all right.
Like, what is it called? Orange creamsicle?
The dreamsicle or whatever.
The dreamsicle, where it's like red with the white. That's what you would look like, dreamsicle.
Yeah. Yep. And I like them, but I don't want to look like one.
But whatever. It does sound like Dreamboat. Someone could go, oh, Kevin Wheeler, he's such a dreamsicle.
Yeah.
All right. What's trending, Amy?
Hasn't happened like that for a long time.
So dreamy.
Okay, I've got something. So it was trending that Jupiter's weird because Jupiter...
The planet?
Yeah. Eats other planets, apparently.
Wow.
Eats them?
Well, the king of planets, as it's called, has double the strength of our gravity and an exceptionally dense and dry atmosphere, right? And it has the storms that it's been having. And apparently... It's growing by eating other planets, the Astronomy and Astrophysics Journal says.
What other planets has it eaten? Because the other ones in our solar system are still there, right?
It just says that the study that came out in this journal suggests that Jupiter has the remains of other planets hidden inside
So they crash into it.
Okay.
Wait, is Jupiter a hard surface? It's not all gas,
it's very
right?
It's gassy.
I wonder how much of it is gas. Can we measure it?
Depends on what it ate.
Yeah.
It ate other planets.
If it's eating other planets, I'd imagine that's really gassy.
The beans of space.
Just don't sit next to Jupiter.
Beans. Yeah, don't sit. It's probably a lot of protein. All right, here's what's trending for me. This is something I've never heard of. I don't know how I feel about challenges in general, but here's one that must be a new one. 9 beers, 9 hot dogs, 9 innings.
Oh,
are you familiar with this?
Wow, we should do this.
So, yes. So there is a challenge that during the course of a baseball game, you have 9 beers and 9 hot dogs. So that's a beer and a hot dog an inning.
Honest,
could you, I know you two couldn't do it.
No, but honest to goodness, Ronj, you are this type of person. What do you think you could do?
I could do 2 dogs. And I mean, I guess if I was pushing it, I could do 3. Like pushing it. But, and then I could probably give you, I could give you quite a few beers.
But you could do 9 beers without the hot dogs easily.
I think so, but maybe not over the course. I'm probably going to get to like 6 or 7.
These games are really long.
They are long.
You got time. I think you could do it.
You could do
well, it depends
beers
on the beer.
A baseball game.
Like if you get just the can or you know, the
you're
tall boys
like the
or whatever.
Big old one, that's probably going to be harder.
Yeah. By the way, one of my favorite.
I can't wait to tell you my trending for you guys. You guys are going
to
love it.
I can't wait to hear it either. But one of my, I just want to give a kudos to our friends at Busch Stadium. And they've been there for, several years now. I love the convenience store style. Like,
oh, right.
Like concession.
Mm-hmm. Just go get your own.
Yes.
That was probably a COVID invention, right?
No, it was prior to that.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Was
like the first game I went to, and I hadn't gone in a long time because I didn't live here. When I came back 2017, they had them. I thought this is one of the greatest things ever.
You know what else is great?
What?
Scientific fact. You have microscopic mites that mate on your faces while you sleep.
No.
And they are evolving to be a part of us.
Okay. You know what?
They are now you. The microscopic mites that mate on your face are now part of you.
No, this is why I cannot watch those documentaries about germs or hand washing. Like if someone said like you can be like a dermatologist or an epidemiologist, anything that has to do with skin or diseases or butt, like I would be like, well, I have to die now. I can't.
So it's a called
an epidemiologist, you don't ever have to touch anything.
It's called a skin mite.
Oh, my gosh.
They eat from your pores.
Oh, my gosh.
They mate on your face. And new research suggests they're beneficial to us.
Oh, good. That's good news. See, that's good news.
They're helping us. Amy's like, I don't care.
Well, that's why they're called mites.
Amy's like, I don't want to be helped.
They're called mites because they might mate on your face.
This is.
What?
This is one of those things where you're giving me a fact and I choose not to believe it.
Well.
I am not believing this.
It's on brand for you.
Wow. I just so dislike you.
All right. During the break, let's check each other for mites.
No.
They're microscopic, man.
Oh. They might mate on your face.
I said that.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.